Scripture reading this morning will be taken from 1 Samuel 7, 7 through 12. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried out unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them, until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us."
Usually I like to go right into the lesson, but this morning I want to talk to you for just a minute about two or three things. Last Sunday evening, our elders presented to us a challenge to raise enough money on, or give enough money on, the fifth Sunday of March to pay for our new bus and our new van. We had some information in the bulletin about that this week on the front page, and a breakdown of how we could possibly meet that goal of $64,000. I hope that you read it. I hope that you're looking at it. Congregation here for some time now has used the fifth Sundays to go toward indebtedness, and congregation has given well. And we have erased the majority of the indebtedness on our activity center in less time than we anticipated. The congregation is to be commended for that. I want to suggest two things as we look toward the fifth Sunday of this month. Number one, do not take away from your regular contribution to give extra on that Sunday. Because one of the things that our elders have kept before us, and I agree with 100%, is that we do not want to take away from our mission work and our benevolent work and things like that that are planned. The second thing that I want to ask you to do is for every family to sit down together and talk about and pray about and think about what you might be able to do on that Sunday. In order to do the mission work and other work, we've got to keep the head of the stream sound. You know, if the head of the stream is not there, it won't make any difference what's down the hill. The water won't be there either. We believe that our work with our young people and our older members and all of us is very, very important here, and that's one of the reasons for the purchase of the vans. I'd like to challenge all of you young folks to ask your parents to sit down with you and just talk about what you might be able to do, how you might be able to save a little extra between now and the fifth Sunday, maybe do something to make a little extra. We have well over 300 families in the congregation, and if all of us will seriously talk about and think about and pray about this challenge, I think we'll give more than we think we can on that day. Second thing I want to mention to you this morning is I have had an experience this past week, that I've never had before, yet it's one that I've talked with so many of you about. We had to place my dad in a nursing home Thursday because of his requirement of 24-hour care that we could not give at home. I've counseled with many of you from time to time and have told you that I believe that that has to be done in many instances as we take care of our own, as indicated in the Bible. Some of you occasionally have said you don't know because you haven't experienced it. I have experienced it, and I haven't changed my mind. We were able to take care of Judy's mother at home for 11 years as an invalid. We've been able to take care of Dad at home now for 3 years, but the time came when we could not deal with what he had to have. And I'm thankful that there were facilities about a mile and a half from where Dad and Mother live, and I'm thankful that we have facilities here. And I believe that the Bible teaches that we are to take care of our own, but sometimes that may mean that we have to seek help of those that are able to give it. And Having said that, we ask that you continue to remember us in your prayers. And I want to mention how death has taken its toll in our midst in the last few days. This afternoon, Miss Susie Johnson's funeral, she and her husband ran the service station across from the college for 20-something years. Brother H.C. Christopher, later in the afternoon, will have his funeral. One of our former elders, one of the best friends I ever had, man who's meant so much as he's walked in, sat over on this side, been involved so much in the work of the church. Earlier this morning, Brother James Tollerson died, man who was a good Bible teacher at Freed Hardeman, has affected the lives of so many. A lot of times I preach lessons on how to live. I think today I understand a little bit better how to die. And it makes so much difference to be Christians and to be ready. If it weren't for that, I don't know how we'd meet some of the things that we do. We just need to stop and count our blessings and keep them in proper focus. And I hope the lesson this morning will help us to do that. Take your songbook, turn back to the song that we just sang, number 115. In the second verse of that song, there is a statement that we may sometimes have sung without really stopping to think about it. Here I raise my Ebenezer. What did you raise this morning? Do you know what you raised? The rest of that verse sort of gives us a definition of it. Hither by thy help I've come. But turn now in your book to page, song number 748. And then turn one more page. There's a sheet in our songbook that you may not have known was there, which is a listing of some words that are in our songs that may be a little unusual and gives us a definition. And if you'll come down that list on the page just past page 748, you'll come to the word Ebenezer, and it defines it as a stone of help. That's exactly what it is. It was raised as a stone to recognize and commemorate and give thanksgiving for the help that God had given to the children of Israel. And Samuel called it Ebenezer. Earlier in the book of 1 Samuel, Ebenezer is mentioned as another place, but it's not the place that's being referred to here. This is a special place. It is a special stone that was raised because of a special occasion. In the reading that Brian read to us a few minutes ago from 1 Samuel 7, he read a description of a time that the Philistines were threatening the children of Israel. God's people were afraid. They came to Samuel and they said, "Ask for God's help." Samuel appealed to God. He cried unto God, that passage says, and then right after that it says, God heard. The Philistines came after the children of Israel, but God intervened and helped, and his children won the battle. After the battle was over, it says that Samuel put a stone and called it Ebenezer, and said, "Hitherto have I come." By the help of God, in other words, we've been able to come to this point. And we need to erect something to show God how much we appreciate what he has done and how he has helped and how much we need him from this point on. That's what's meant by raising Ebenezer in 1 Samuel 7. How can you and I raise Ebenezer today? We do not have the Philistines. Maybe we do not even have, physically speaking, the threat of war as much as they had at that time, even though there is some concern. But we in the church do have a war going on with a battle every day. We have those things around us that would try to take us away from God. And it seems that the trends in our country are such that it's certainly right for us to be concerned. I would guess within the last week that I have been present at least 8 or 10 times when people were talking about what's happening in our nation. And I think all are dealing with the same thing, and rightly so. The biggest concern that I hear is about the thinking of the American people toward events that are taking place. The discussion usually goes something like this: does truth make any difference anymore? Does the kind of life that a person lives make any difference? Is it more important to work out a deal before we go into a court or a trial than it is to go in and tell the truth? And now we come to the point that really it's a battle between lawyers and others to see who can win and who can get this and who can do that. And as those questions are raised and discussed, at least two or three times in the last week, I've heard the statement made, "You remember what happened to Rome?" And certainly it's time for us to be concerned. On the other hand, I try to go back to the book of Genesis and remember that even as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah were, that God would have spared them for 10 righteous people. And try to think about the number of good people that we have in this country. And we have them, I think, even by the millions. Not only those that are members of the New Testament church, but we still have a lot of people who maybe are not worshiping as we believe the Bible teaches, who at least believe in God and believe in moral principles that are set forth in the Bible. And it is that gives me hope at a time when there are many things that would suggest that we have many problems. And I think we ought not to overlook that side of it also. But having said that, let's go back to the fact that we are facing some great battles. We're probably facing an uphill battle in trying to stand against immorality, dishonesty, and indecency in this country. And maybe we are like the children of Israel on this occasion, that the time has come more than any time in our past that we need to turn to God and ask for God's help. I'm not expecting God to send down thunder as he did on that occasion, but I strongly believe, and I think you do also, that God's hand is still in the matter and that his providential care is still there and that his power is still there. And I wonder sometimes if God doesn't sit back and laugh at some of the people who think they have so much power when he knows of his all-powerful strength and ability that he has. But in the church and in the work of the Lord, if we've ever needed God, we need him now. We need to turn to him and we need to ask for his help. We believe he'll hear as he did on this occasion. We believe that he will help. Many of you are right now studying in the book of Revelation in one of the Bible classes. Brother Hires has rightly pointed out to you that one of the key points in that entire book is that he that overcometh will win the battle. And that if we turn to God and hold on to God, no matter what the situation is, we can overcome. And I believe that is one of the main messages that's in that book, and it's a main message that we need to emphasize to ourselves today. But as we fight the battle, and as we believe with God's help that we can overcome and we still can stand for the truth and the truth can win, is it possible that we need to raise some Ebenezers ourselves? One thing I really appreciated about Samuel on that occasion was he realized from whence his help had come. He realized why he was to this point. He says, "Hitherto have we come by the help of God." That's basically what the passage is teaching. And I think he was also saying, though you may have to read between the lines to get this, he was also saying that whatever we accomplish in the future, we're still going to need God's help. God has helped us to come this far, and we're going to need him to help us to go on as far as we need to go. And so he set up an Ebenezer. He set up a stone, recognizing the help that God had given. I want to suggest to you that there are some Ebenezers that you and I need to raise today. When we consider our prosperity, and yes, we are prosperous, we can easily raise an Ebenezer to God by giving back to him regularly as we do, and also reaching out to help his people wherever they are when they're in need and less fortunate than we. I believe the fact that we have been able to meet the challenges with our budget and our contribution and our giving, in a sense, is raising an Ebenezer to God. Sometimes we think we don't have much. Yet when we really compare ourselves to the rest of the world and we really stop and think about what's the difference between wants and needs, we are a prosperous people. And when we give as we've been prospered, 1 Corinthians 16, and give liberally and cheerfully, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, the very fact that we're doing that in a sense is we're raising an Ebenezer to God. We're raising a stone of appreciation. We're saying, God, we appreciate our blessings and how well blessed we are. And tomorrow or next day, if you and I see somebody that's hungry or needs something and we help that person and we try to do it in a way that we give God the credit, or at least the person knows that we're trying to represent Christ. I believe when we buy someone a meal or we buy an article of clothing or we reach out to help somebody like that, that in a sense we're raising an Ebenezer to God. And we're saying, God, the way I use what I have, what you've entrusted to me as a steward, is to show appreciation for all the blessings that we have. So when we lay by in store on Sunday, and in addition to that, when we reach out to help other people and to give to others who are less fortunate than we, I suggest to you that we are raising an Ebenezer. In the second place, we are raising an Ebenezer when we show care to other people. I can thank God for the good health that I've enjoyed by reaching out to help those who do not have that kind of good health. Do you realize that I have not missed a service of the church since I've been in Henderson because of sickness on my part? In fact, since I began preaching at age 13, I have only missed about 7 services, if I've counted right, because of sickness. God has blessed me so well, and many of you could say the same thing, and most of you could come close to that. How do I raise an Ebenezer to God in appreciation for that? I believe it is by reaching out to those who are less fortunate and who have not been blessed as well, maybe in that area of thought. I hope it is not the only reason, but could it not be one of the reasons that we go to hospitals and nursing homes and homes to visit those that are sick, and funeral homes and other ways to comfort those who are bereaved? Are we not, in a sense, raising an Ebenezer to God and saying, God, how much we appreciate what we have and what we have had when we reach out to help those who do not have and have not had in the same way and to the same extent that we have? I believe that's a way of raising an Ebenezer to God. We can raise an Ebenezer to God and express appreciation to Him for our opportunity and freedom of worship this morning by being at worship and worshiping. And I purposely said both of those last two things: being at the service and worshiping while we're at the service. I just have difficulty understanding how anybody can really appreciate the opportunity to worship God and the freedom that we have in this country to worship God and then willfully miss any assembly that he could reasonably be there. I remember back during the lectureship, there was an announcement made that some of our brethren who'd gone as missionaries and some of the local people in another country, I don't remember right now what the country was, had been put in jail for worshiping God. Here you and I are this morning able to leave our houses and come to this building without any fear whatsoever, worship God as we believe the Bible teaches. What a wonderful opportunity. And I'm even thankful that those whom I believe are worshiping wrong this morning have the opportunity to meet and worship as they believe is right. That's the freedom of worship that we have. What a wonderful freedom it is. Shall we take it for granted? Or shall we show our appreciation by raising the Ebenezer of being involved and truly worshiping God and realizing how important it is? God wants man to worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4, 23 and 24. Here we are living in a country where, at least at this point, we have nothing that hinders us from being present to worship God on any occasion. Maybe we need to stop and think about what it means to raise an Ebenezer to God and show appreciation for that freedom that we have and that opportunity that we have. Perhaps when I consider how empty my life would be without Christ and without being a Christian, when you consider how empty your life would be, we can raise an Ebenezer in appreciation for that by reaching out to help others to be brought to Jesus Christ. I don't see how people meet the affairs of life without God and without Christ. I just don't see how people meet it. And yet you and I know that Jesus is with us yesterday, today, yea, and forever, that he said, I'll never forsake thee. That he'll be with us to the end of time and with us in the eternity that is to come. What a wonderful blessing. And yet do we appreciate it enough to go out and share it with others, talk to others about Christ and what he means to the world? I would guess that every person who is here this morning knows somebody who's not a Christian. Probably has somebody in the family who's not a Christian. What are we doing to go out and talk to those people about Christ? Even if we don't feel comfortable to do the teaching, at least to contact and see if we can get them with someone who can teach. Or if nothing else, just invite them to the services of the church and to our Bible classes where they can learn about Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. But how many of us are doing that on a regular basis? How many of us have invited one person this week? How many of us have talked to one person about Jesus Christ? About the salvation that is in Jesus Christ that we believe we have. By the grace of God and through our obedience to accept that's available by his grace. Maybe we need to stop and raise some Ebenezers and realize that we are what we are and where we are and who we are because of God's grace and love and the death of Christ on the cross, and that we want other people who do not know about that and who do not understand the fullness of that to have the opportunity to know and to be Christians and to worship God and to look forward to heaven just like we do. We can raise an Ebenezer by evangelism. And we can talk and talk about personal evangelism. We can have classes and we can do all of that, but it comes right down to personal evangelism with each one of us as a person being involved in talking to others and doing everything we can to bring someone to Christ, at least to bring the teaching of the Bible to them and give them an opportunity to know what the Bible teaches. Are we raising enough Ebenezers in our lives today? Are we really giving credit to God for what he does and what he's done, as Samuel did on that occasion? He took a stone and he set it up and he called it Ebenezer. Today, we don't need to take a stone, a literal stone, and put it out in the churchyard or necessarily increase the height of a steeple or stained glass windows or anything like that to really raise an Ebenezer to God. When we count our blessings and then we share those blessings in our giving to the church, daily activities, we raise an Ebenezer. When we care about people, and we reach out in ways that may sometimes seem to be insignificant, but we reach out to help people, we're raising an Ebenezer, especially if we can let them know that we're doing it to the glory of God. And when we assemble to worship and study his word and show our appreciation for such freedom and such opportunity, we're raising an Ebenezer. And when we reach out to help someone come closer to Christ and to teach him the word of God and help him to know what Christianity is about and what the value and assurance of salvation is about when it's through Jesus Christ and his word, we're raising an Ebenezer to God. And we're saying, we've come this far with God's help, and we'll go the rest of the way with God's help, and we won't make it without it. Raising Ebenezer is basically recognizing the help that God gives and how much we need it. We need to raise some Ebenezers. If you're not a Christian this morning, you haven't raised the right Ebenezer yet. If you're a wayward child of God, you're not raising the right Ebenezer. You're not really showing your appreciation to God for what he's done, the help that he's given. But you can be baptized into Christ this morning, you can receive forgiveness of sins and continue to raise that Ebenezer to God in appreciation. If that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Upon your ear, sweet his cry of love and pity calleth. Turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will